Majid Wahawin Shinagalva, August Falchig G, Clomber and Yov. We're with you right through until 12 o'clock and we have a jam-packed show on community matters. We'll be giving you an introduction to the area with farmers and anglers and blow-ins to the area. We're also looking at some of the issues in the area with the community council. As well as that, we look at history, heritage. We have a man who's doing a lot of adventuring stuff in the area and he's doing it for a worthy cause as well. We have sport from Clomber, we have some music live here for us, and we have plenty of crack and kyol along the way as well. Stay with us, and if you're down in the area, pop in to Chivurca. A very good morning to you from Clomber. Good morning, you're welcome to Community Matters with John Morley from Clonburr on Friday the 19th of April 2024. If you want to get involved and send in your texts and WhatsApps, do to our number 086 38 33 553. You can phone reception on 091 77 0077 and email comments at goibayfm.ie. I must say it's a beautiful morning here in Clonburr. The view out the back window of Chivurca, Burke's Bar and Restaurant, is absolutely stunning. Although it is a little bit overcast, I must say it's great to see that type of scenery, and it's a beautiful part of the county as well. Delighted to say I'm joined in Burke's Bar by two gentlemen. We have Tom O'Sullivan and Ed Colson. You're both very welcome onto the programme today, gentlemen. Tom, I'll start with you. You're known locally as Tom Doc.
Man, yeah, come on, John. Thanks. Yeah, I'm known locally as Tom Doc. We've a thing in the parish here. You'd often take your father's name or your mother's name. And my father was Doc Sullivan. He was the GP in the area for about 30 years. He was actually from the area. So there was a lot of Sullivans around here. So I was given his name. So I'd be known as Tom Doc. I could have easily been known as Tom John or Tom Peter or Tom Rose. But yeah, he was known as Doc. So I got the moniker Tom Doc.
And am I going to get in trouble having you on now? Because I know you're from the parish, but you're from the Cornamona side.
Yeah, well, hopefully not. Hopefully there'll be a truce now for the day that everybody will be allowed in. Yeah, I'm from the parish of Clonmore, but I'm actually from Cornamona, just over the road. But yeah, I mean, like, growing up, it was a parish thing and everything. Like, we all played football for Clonmore here.
Yeah, and you are one of the anglers in the area, and there's great fishing to be had between the two lakes.
Yeah, there really is. And, like, to be honest here, we're right where Clonmore is situated here. It's right between the strip of land between Loch Carb and Loch Mask. If you ever look at a map, you just see a little strip of land. So, like, between you on one side and the other side, you've nearly, I think it's, to use old money, 65,000 acres of fishing ground. Yeah, so.
And it's a beautiful part of the country.
Oh, it's absolutely fantastic. You're here and you're looking back, as you said, looking out the window here, you're looking at Mount Gable and the mountains to the west just start. Like, you have the Mam Turks heading off back towards Clifton direction. If you look up north towards Stormycady, you have the Dirks and the Partrie Mountains. It's beautiful.
But you talk all about the angling and the fishing, and which lake is better now, first of all?
Well, that would be an ecumenical matter.
I wonder where you heard that from.
I always hedge for a Carb, but then I grew
bet
up
you do.
I grew up in the banks of it, and right on the shores of it. Look, each lake has its own charm. I'll be very diplomatic here. Each lake has its own charm.
Well, what's different about them? I'll put it that way to you.
Well, the good thing about them, and I'm an angling guide and I bring people out, is they fish better at different times.
Okay.
So that's really good for me. So if I've lads, like, for example, today I've two lads, that's why I'm here, because fair play to you, I've lads to bring out now shortly. I'll be going out in the lake at 10 o'clock. We were going to go to Mask, but I was chatting to a lad who was on Mask yesterday, and he said, not great. And we had good fishing on Carb yesterday. So I said to the guys last night, I said, lads, you know, we stick on Carb tomorrow. So great. So that is the absolute beauty. And that's why Clonmore was so popular as a fishing destination. You go back for over 100 years, because where it was situated, you had close proximity to both lakes.
And when you say fishing, trout or what fish?
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, I mean, sorry, I'm kind of tunnel visioned here.
Take it back a bit.
Of course, trout. Yeah, but I mean, all I think of is trout. Now, that is the one little advantage that Carb had. Carb has salmon.
Okay.
Yeah, Mask doesn't, because the river that goes from Carb to Mask, or for drains Mask to Carb, goes in under the limestone there between Akong. So that very rarely will salmon transverse that or go up it.
And is it brown trout or what type of trout?
It's brown trout. They're known as brown trout. So basically they're trout that stay in the lakes. They spawn in the rivers in the winter. Then they return to the lake. The eggs hatch. the young trout will stay there for a certain period of time till they get to a certain size, and then they will migrate down to the lakes and get big and fat in the lakes there.
And it's a huge business here as well, because I was talking to a man who was in Personage early on. He comes from Macroom and he's here every year for the last 37 years. But it's big business.
That would be another time, would it?
Yeah, it would be, yeah.
Yeah, it would. Yeah, it's
he's
big.
He's big up in the vintners as well, but go
yeah,
on.
Yeah. And to give him, yeah, well, I might be Doc and he's swanky.
He was swanky this morning,
yeah,
all right.
Yeah. So, yeah, no, it is big business. I mean, like, Tom runs the Vintners competition, which is here in September, which is a huge event. Mm. And then we have Thomas runs the Burke Open here in March. They're two huge events. Each of them attract like well in excess of over 100 anglers each time for two-day events, which is like big in the competition scene. And they're great. They get people to the area and everything, you know. So it's those two periods. And also, I was saying to you earlier on, Mayfly time.
Yeah.
They're huge here. Mayfly time is carnival time here. Really, it is.
And you're a fishing guide. Mm. Who are the biggest people you've brought out in the lakes? Because I know we're close to a lot of tourist hotspots, a lot of Americans come in for the likes of Ashford Castle, etc. Who are the biggest names you've brought out in the lakes?
Or the people I'm allowed to say.
Yeah. Yeah, you didn't sign an NDA with these
no.
ones, no?
No, I look, you bring out a lot of people. I haven't hit any of the celebrity A-lists. I've had a few people out. I used to bring out John Watson, the former Grand Prix driver.
Wow.
Yeah. He was very good. He told me a lot of stories about the Grand Prix thing, which was great, actually.
Oh,
really,
yeah,
interesting.
Netflix series, is it?
There was the one. No, this was prior to that, because
okay.
He used to do commentary. If you
all
remember,
right.
He used to do the commentary all the time. And he had all the inside stories and things. And, yeah, it was really good. Yeah, but the thing about, and I was saying that they are trout fishing is very much across the board.
Mm.
It's not an exclusive thing. The lakes are free. So, you know, it's not exactly, you know, you get a really broad mix. You know, you could be bringing out, as I said, former Grand Prix drivers one day and tradesmen the next day.
And where do you find most of the people come from? Do people come from the UK? Do they come from different parts of the country to come and fish on the lakes?
Well, I find myself at the moment, we're getting a huge amount of Irish people.
Oh. You know?
Yeah, there's a real booming on Irish people, particularly with me. We still get a lot from the UK. Mainland Europe, not as many, because we're mainly fly fishing here.
Yeah.
And fly fishing is very popular in the UK and in Ireland, not as popular in mainland Europe. There are other parts, let's say in Ireland, Loch Derg and places like that, which do a lot of spin fishing, a lot of predator fishing, and they would attract more of the continental Europeans. But we're very much to the fore in fly fishing here.
Okay, now the lakes, they can be a dangerous place at times. You know, the Corrib mask and rescue boats, they do great work. What have your most difficult times in the lake been like?
Yeah, that's one thing. Well, it's a bit of a boon for us guides as well, because to be honest with you, I wouldn't recommend going out on the lakes on your own for the first time, particularly mask. I mean, I'm still always very wary going out on mask. Mask, while it is a smaller lake, is a much more open body of water. And with the Partier Mountains right beside it, the wind can whip down, build up a really big wave, and then there's just, on the eastern shore, it's just reefs all over the place. The level of the lake fluctuates a lot, so what was clear water a month ago could suddenly be just a minefield of jagged limestone rocks.
Okay.
So you have to be very careful. Like I was saying to you earlier, I remember 1 year we got caught out, we headed out, and the forecast was to change from a southeast wind to a southwest. We went over from here. It was the Vintners, actually.
Okay.
It was the Vintners. And we headed over and we went to fish over at Churchfield, expecting the wind to go southwest. And it didn't. And it got up southeast, blown right in. And we had to wait on the shoreline for 3 hours, pulled in.
Wow.
Before we could chance coming back. And when we came back, I had a timber boat at the time. And it broke a rib in the timber boat coming down in one wave. So.
Wow. Stark warning for people. And in terms of the best days you've had out in the lakes, what memories stick out in your mind?
Just getting out there. My own memories, and they're very dear to me, is fishing with my dad.
Okay.
I'll never forget that. I had some great times with my dad. I remember, like, and this is pertinent here, just back the road here, he never fished mask much.
Okay.
It's gas, yeah, he never fished mask much. But it was in the day, when he was growing up, your boat was, like his boat was in Cernamona. That's where he fished.
Mm.
He didn't go anywhere else. Now we trailer boats and we go every place.
Mm.
But I have a great memory of just outside Red Island years back. And at this stage, I remember he was 83 and we pulled in from a wave because he was getting uncomfortable in the big wave. And there's a shallow just off Red Island here, which is just off Petersburg.
Yeah.
And just coming into it, he hit a fish and he was, I think he was 3.5. And I'll never forget the look on his face.
3.5 pounds.
3.5 pounds.
Okay, yeah.
And, yeah, sorry, 3.5 pounds, not 3.5 years. He might have been. Never asked him. But, and the look on his face, it was his best ever fish from Mask. And, yeah, and that things like that, they're very dear to me. And I quite often, when I'm guiding, get to bring out father and sons or fathers and daughters or families. And they're special to me because I know from my own experience how much it meant to me.
It's definitely one of those memories that people won't forget. In terms of Clonburr and the village here, because I know you said Cornamona, but in terms of your memories from Clonburr, what stands out?
Oh, I think growing up here, we used to have great crack because we were saying, you were talking about between Clonburr and or between Loch Mask and Loch Carb. And I remember, like, when we were playing football, we'd be having the argument of which lake was better. Because when we were that age, I mean, all we had when I was growing up, and that was the 80s, you had football and you had fishing.
Mm.
And everybody was at fishing then. I'm sure we'd be saying, oh, Carb was better. And all that, the Clonburr lads here, Donzie and Des, would be saying, no, Mask is way better. And then just get... I remember then when I got to know out of Clonburr fishing well, it's just like it opened up a whole new place to me. But the whole thing of it and just how much fishing was. I remember bringing friends down here from a couple of friends from Dublin, and they couldn't get over when they came in here into the pub. I was saying that everybody was talking about fishing, and it was just, you know, and like you're in here in May and the whole place is full of fishermen, and my mate from Dublin couldn't get over this. This was brilliant. It's fantastic because he never experienced this. Then I have another mate, Fuzzy from Cornamona, I remember once, he walked in and everybody's, they were cast, and if you looked at the word, losing fish and hitting fish and this fish and everything, and I said, and he just rolled his eyes up to heaven, and I said, sorry, do you speak trout? And he says, a little, but I'm not fluent, he says, and walked out. Yeah, so, you know, because you can be a bit of overkill on fishing here during May time.
Yeah, it's fishy, all right. Yeah. Tom, I know you need to get out in the lake. Thanks for joining us. We are also joined here in Burke's Bar by Ed Colson. Ed, good morning.
Hi, good morning. How are you doing?
You're blowing to the area, Ed. Yes, talk to us about your journey. It started when there was a change of legislation in the UK.
That's true. It had nothing to do with fish, at least as far as I know. Yeah, when we moved here, I'll tell you the story in a second, but when we moved here, you know, everyone assumed I came here because of the fishing, you know, and I had to disappoint everybody over and over again. You know, I didn't know anything, still don't know anything about fishing, but not for want of trying from a few friends who've tried to. Shout out to Jürgen in particular, who always tried to get me rod in hand, but it's never actually panned out. The reason we moved here, it's a strange one, and I mean, there's plenty of blow-ins in Clonburr, and they've arrived here through different reasons, through choice, through circumstance or whatever. And in our case, it was sort of a mixture of both. And when I tell people the story of why we ended up in Ireland, they honestly still find it a bit hard to understand, and they think that I must be mistaken. And the reason is because it was back in 2012, and in the UK you had David Cameron in as the Prime Minister and Theresa May as the Home Secretary, right? Mm. And I was living overseas with my wife, Anya. We wanted to move back to the UK, but we discovered that they'd changed the rules. And the reason they changed the rules is because they wanted to make it extremely difficult for people to settle in the UK, British people to settle in the UK. So even if you're a British person and you just happened to be married to somebody who was not European, they applied these new rules to you, which made it very, very difficult. They set things like a minimum salary threshold, which increased if you had children by several thousand pounds, right? And so this had the intended effect. And actually thousands and thousands of people found themselves effectively unable to move home to their home country of Britain.
Wow.
Whether they might be married to Russians or South Africans or Canadians or Americans or whatever, or Japanese people, whatever it might be, you know, if you were married to a non-European spouse, suddenly these new rules applied to you, and for almost half the working population, they wouldn't have been able to meet those conditions. So thousands and thousands of people started looking for somewhere else to live, and that included us, and we just considered a few different countries. We looked at France, and obviously we were thinking about the proximity to Scotland, which is where I'm from, and we ended up moving to Ireland. And a couple of friends that I had in Scotland who were from Ireland, I mean, I approached them and said, listen, we're moving to Ireland, where should we go? And both of them independently said, go to the West. So I don't know what it is about us or about the West, but anyway, that's where they told us to go. So that's how we ended up coming here.
So you came here, but you started working locally as well.
Yeah, that's right. We both wanted to work outdoors, and I managed to get myself an interview in the Falconry Centre, the Falconry School at Ashford Castle. And my wife Anya came along to my job interview, which was basically just a hawk walk. For anyone who's ever been there, it's a fantastic experience. You go and you get to fly a hawk or two. And that's what we did. That was my job interview. And Anya came along with me, and she ended up getting a job at the same place as well. So it was a job interview for both of us. And we worked there for 3 seasons, and it was great. And it really got us connected with the nature around here. So it was a fantastic job, yeah.
And it's beautiful over there as well. And you're on the right side of the border as well in terms of the castle being on the Galway side. But you're looking out over the Corrib, and it's really idyllic.
Oh, it's just gorgeous. I remember when we went for that first visit down to the Falconry School, and we walked down this little tree-lined lane, down from the Falconry School, down to this long avenue, which they call Broadwalk. And it's this huge, long, straight, very wide kind of avenue in the grounds of Ashford. Mm. And what they've got there are these gigantic trees. They're called Monterey Pines. And they were put there, presumably, by the Guinnesses. And they're absolutely gigantic. I mean, they're bigger than any other kind of tree that grows around here. They're just like buildings, you know, they're massive. And I remember just walking out onto this avenue and looking up at these, feeling totally dwarfed by these trees and just thinking, oh my God, you know, like, maybe I'm going to get a job here, maybe we're going to get to work here, maybe we're going to get to live here. So that was an amazing moment, yeah.
And there's another beautiful walkway and woodway in between Cong and here. I think it's Lady Guinness's residence there along the lake as well. There's a lot of beautiful different woodland tracks along the way.
It's amazing. You can walk or cycle all the way between Cong and Clonbur and back again without really going on any road at all, apart from maybe one very quiet road crossing. There are tunnels which the Guinnesses put in to facilitate the travel between the castle and where they used to either hunt grouse, I think, up on Mount Gable here. Yeah. And you can use that route now, and it's a lovely off-road route. And now we've got a new local link bus in as well. So now there's a new option opened up, which means you only have to walk in one direction. You don't have to walk back. You can walk down to Cong, and you can catch the bus back to Clonbur.
That'd be the route I'd be taking, I think. Now you're no stranger to radio, Ed, because you're from a radio background. Is it new to you being on this side of the mic, though?
Yeah. I normally try to just point in the other direction and
hope for the best.
Yeah, you know how it is. So that's what I do. I work in audio. I make things like bits of radio and podcasts and things like that, and I also make geolocated audio trails, which are like kind of audio guides that are triggered by GPS as you walk around a certain area. So,
and one of those very close by as well.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, the latest one I did was in Headford, the Headford Lace Trail. That was finished last year, and fantastic experience making that. And it's a wonderful story. If anybody hasn't been there, it's a great way to discover it, even if I say so myself. It takes about an hour to do the trail, and you get to meet some people from the sort of from the actual lace industry. I'll say no more than that. There are some there's some time travel involved as well. So yeah.
And your wife works locally, and I must say my mouth was watering as I was walking up by it this morning.
Yeah, you caught the whiff of pastries on the wind. Yeah, if the wind's blowing the right way, you can smell it all the way as you're coming in from the village. So she opened a bakery with her partner a couple of years ago, and it's still going strong. It's become part of the life of the village, I think, and we're all absolutely delighted that it's there. And yeah, so it's Joyce Country Bakery, and they bake sourdough bread and amazing cakes, and they do great coffee as well. But anyway, this is not commercial content, but I'm just being honest.
But it's really a great name, Joyce Country, because you're heading into the Joyce Country now from here as you go into the Gaeltacht as well. But no, it's all very interesting. It's nice to see that people have moved to the area, and the love you have for it, you can really see it there. What are your favourite memories since you've moved here?
Oh, geez. For the first few years when we were working in Ashford, you know, we were very, very busy. It was a hard job, and we were renting a little cottage up on the hill here, and honestly, we didn't see that many people, but things all changed. We moved to another house closer to the village and joined the community council. And that was really the turning point where we started meeting loads of people. And I remember one night in particular, there was a concert on at All Saints Heritage Centre. Pierce Doherty, bassist out of the Soul Doctors, was putting on a series of concerts there at the time. And this folk group, Ye Vagabonds, were playing, and we just offered to help out on like the bar or the refreshment stand, let's say, such as it was, and it was just a beautiful moment. I remember just like meeting all these new friendly faces with all of this beautiful music, and it was kind of an amazing introduction to the musical culture of the area as well, you know, and just feeling sort of welcomed in, you know. And yeah, so the community council for us was a big way into like meeting people. So those kind of memories would be very strong for me. And then, like I said before, you know, like working in Ashford in the falconry, we got really started to in touch with the natural assets of the area, and that's been a huge part for us. You know, we've spent hours and days and nights in the woods there, exploring and learning about it. And some of the best memories I have here are, you know, time by the lakeside swimming, or just lying for hours underneath the trees listening to the birds and things like that. You know, that really matters a lot to me. So
we'll have to get a rod for you now very shortly as well. Go out there with Tom. He's actually he's gone already. I think he must be halfway across the Corrib already. But Ed Coulson and before that Tom O'Sullivan, thank you both for joining us on Community Matters. And you gave me a lovely segue as well, because still to come we're looking at the Community Council and some of the issues affecting people in the area. If you want to get involved, text and WhatsApp us right now, ring reception, and email comments at goibayfm.ie. Good morning.
Galway talks in association with Windsor Motor Mall. Find hundreds of used cars to suit your budget in Windsor Motor Mall Galway, located on the Monavay Road.
Imagine what we're doing in Galway. Community Matters, Lum Hain, John Morley, August Tha, Jerlin Mara in a sea in Acalum. Jerlin, imagine what August Inishtum Fui on Railgas, the counter show.
I will too, yeah. Thomas Gamar here, imagine. Thomas and Gail took Tira the Naughty, August Ashin, Thomas Fear Brodul. You know, we're here, we're in the Gael Tuck Tira in Clambour, and we're very proud of that. The language is very much alive here. It's very much spoken and it's very visible in the community, which is wonderful. All our schools are Lán Gaeilge for a long time back, and that hugely helped revive the Irish language when that happened. And with the support of Stefan Shoiger, our language officer with the Plan Teanga, Dúithe Shoiger and Tuama Cady in recent years, that really revived the language again and gave it a new lease of life. It made it much more spoken in the area. It's more visible in the area. You know, it's wonderful to see it. And if you pass the school on any given day now and you see the kids outside and you hear them playing and talking in Irish, and if you attend any events in the school like Christmas plays or end of year plays, and you see the kids on the stage talking happily in Irish, and in particular the kids that came here that aren't from here, and many of them came here that even English wasn't their first language, and now to see them happily speaking in Irish, like, it does, it lifts your heart. It's wonderful. It's fabulous.
I was talking to a lot of people in the area and they said that sometimes the kids have a lot more Irish than some of the adults in the area, so it shows what can be done if people put the work in at grassroots level.
And the schools, you know, really are the heart of it, because once they start at that age in the school and they have the love of the language and they can speak it, it stays with them and it's fabulous.
Now we're also talking about the All Saints Heritage Centre, and this is one of the things that's come up a lot in conversation here as well, but it's a beautiful building and a lot to it.
Yes, it's fabulous. It was our Protestant church just on the edge of the village, a beautiful location just under the road here outside the village, and it was gone to ruin, and a wonderful group of local volunteers, completely voluntary, put in a huge fundraising effort years ago, particularly in 1996-97, and they started a restoration project, and that was completed, beautifully completed. It's a fabulous building. That was completed in 2016 and it opened as our local heritage centre. So it's here to promote, you know, all of our heritage from all the different communities, to promote the arts, visual and performing arts, you know, to promote the Irish language. And it does that very well. It's also available as a wedding venue, which is beautiful for that, a beautiful wedding venue. So it's a real gem in Clonbar. It's fabulous, and not many villages are lucky enough to have something like this.
Definitely multi-purpose. And you said wedding venue, is that civil marriages?
Yes, so it's popular for that, and the location is beautiful, and the village itself has all the facilities to offer for those ceremonies, and it's, you know, it is a real, it's a real gem in Clonbar, and we're very, very proud of it.
And it's great to have a centre like that. I know it's not just for Clonbar, but it's for the wider region as well, as you come into the Gaeltacht to promote all the culture, whether that's music, history,
language. And like, you'll travel, you know, quite a long way from Clonbar, either side of Clonbar, to find a venue like it. You know, it's beautiful, and we're very lucky to have it.
Now talk to me about the other things you're involved in the area. I know the Community Council and Pride of Place are very close to your heart as well.
Very close, involved in both of those, just help out where we can, you know. very proud of the village pride of place. We do our very best to keep it looking well and, you know, try and to keep it looking as well as we can, to keep it clean. Litter isn't a huge problem here, but like everywhere else, it's still a problem, you know. We still have to keep on top of it, but it's not a huge problem in Clonbur, I have to say. People are very good, but the village is lovely. We try with planting, all the rest. We try to keep sustainable. We stick to our biodiversity plan. We have plans down the road to open a community garden down here close to the playground, which will be wonderful when it's open. That's somewhere we hope to have trees planted, you know, like blackberries, raspberries, fruit trees, all that type of thing, where people can go in, they can sit, they can enjoy themselves. We have lots of plans for that garden, and hopefully it'll take a couple of years, but we will get there with it. But
there seems to be a great respect locally for the local environment, because how could you not when you see Mount Gable in the background, the two lakes either side and the forest? It's beautiful.
It is beautiful. It's beautiful, and I hope we never forget that. It is beautiful, and, you know, sometimes when you're here every day, it's only maybe when you go away somewhere else and you kind of think, you know, this is beautiful, but when you think, when you come back and you say, oh God, Clonbur, you know, it is. It's beautiful. There's no point saying it is.
And what's life been like for you in Clonbur? Have you stayed here all your life, or what's the last few years been like for you in Clonbur?
No, I grew up locally, and then I moved away for a little while and I came back then when I got married, but I was never far away. And I've they're teenagers now, and it was a great place to bring children up. It was fabulous. It was safe. It was happy. There was always something going on for them. We had every facility here, really, that we needed. You know, we really have. Like, it's fantastic. You might have to travel a little bit for some things, but really and truly, there's always something going on for the kids. You know, it was safe. They had sport, they had something going on in the arts always. There was something for everybody here, and it was a safe. We had the outdoors, which was wonderful, and really, you know, you can maybe sometimes travel and go to all these other things outside the community, and very often down the woods is where they have the memories, and, you know, having a bit of fun with friends, meeting up, having a swim in the lake, that type of thing. We have all of that. Like, as teenagers, they love climbing Mount Gable now. You know, it's fabulous. It's brilliant.
And there's a lot of unique things in the area, whether that's, I know the sheep farming is quite big, and the fishing as well. So there's a lot of things that are quite unique to the area, and you get a lot of the fishermen in throughout the year as
well.
We
do, yes, yeah. And they've been coming here for, you know, years, repeat over the years, and they love coming back to Clonbur, and it's lovely to see their faces again.
And another thing that struck me as I was coming through the town this morning, and I won't name them all out, but there's a lot of real local businesses. It's really, it's a lot of them traditional businesses and the ones that have always been here, they've survived to the modern day, which you can't say about a lot of other towns, villages in Galway.
You know, you drive through a lot of the towns and it strikes you, you know, they don't have this. We really have, and we're very, very lucky like that, that we're lucky that they have survived, you know, through the time. And it's great to have them locally. As I say, we don't have to travel for lots of things.
And do you have a favourite memory from throughout the years that stands out in your mind, or are you allowed to tell us on radio?
Oh, we have lots. I suppose I have a great love for the festivals and all the things we've done, and the memories of the kids with different Halloween festivals and that type of thing. It's just, you know, to see the joy it brought them and the fun it brought to ourselves organising them as well. That type of thing is memories that stick with the children, and that's happy, you know. And even with ourselves going back, when I went to school in Clonbrack locally, we had a wonderful teacher, Mrs. Somerville, Sadie Somerville, and she, you know, gave us a love for our, she brought us, you know, Irish dancing, we did Dromiocht. In those years, there wasn't that many schools doing those things, and I think it gave us a great love for it. You know, we were brought to the Tyveark and all over the country dancing and different things, and it gave us a great love for it, and it was wonderful, fabulous.
And I know that GEA is a big obsession. We'll be hearing from Steve and Joyce later on, and I see there's a big poster cut out of a man behind us as well.
Yes.
It's an obsession here.
It is. It's huge. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I mean, if you're down there on the pitch of any evening, we have a beautiful pitch in Clonbur, and if you're down there any evening, it is absolutely full with every age down there playing, having fun, like from the tiny ones right up. It's fabulous to have. It's a great interest for them and a great facility to have there.
And the All Saints Heritage Centre, it's keeping you busy. If people want to visit and pop along, what's the best way of getting information on it?
Yes, we have a website, All Saints Heritage Centre website, and all the information is there about booking it for different events, workshops, weddings, any event that you want there, and all our events coming up are on there as well.
Brilliant. Geraldine Moran, thank you for joining us on Community Matters this morning.
Fáilte rud.
Still to come on the programme this morning, it's very busy. We have Johnny Coyne coming on. He is from the Loch Corrib Adventure. Set it up himself, and he's a great story to tell. Has he difficulties as a youth, but he managed to funnel his energies into more positive things. We also have the City Tribune headlines with Dave O'Connell, the Connacht Tribune Group editor, a busy edition of the paper today. We're also looking at community organisations locally. We have Mike Dolan from the Zambia Housing Project, Mark Finn, who'll be talking about the community, the Connemara Social Housing. And we've Rose Sheen Birch about a lovely story about how a Syrian family have been integrated into the locality. So all that's still to come. As well as that, we look at history because Trish Walsh is joining us and there's a lot of history in the area. If you're into the Land League in that period of Irish history, there is a lot of very interesting facts and some of them are murderous in nature, so stay tuned for that. We have sport, Stephen Joyce of the GAA fame, very big in Clonbur GAA, but also in Galway GAA. He's joining us to talk about his memories of the area. And so too is a young lady called Kate Dillon, who is very, very prestigious in the golfing circles and has won lots as well. We have music. Barney McCabe joins us with his sister Helen and also a very talented young musician, Tara Boyle, who'll be playing the Illan Pipes. And we finish off the day by speaking to Anne Kine and Adrian Birch. So all that plus lots more coming up on Community Matters today. If you want to give us your memories of Clonbur on ARCA, do so to our text and WhatsApp number. That's 086 3833 553. Phone reception on 091 770 077 and email comments at galwaybayfm.ie. If you're in Clonbur or if you're in that north Galway area as you come into the Gaeltacht, do pop over to Chivurca, Burke's Bar and Restaurants and say hello to us, because the crack is starting to pick up, I think. There's a few of them, they're not dancing yet. No, Barney's getting set up in the back. So do say hello to us and come in. And we're here with you right through until 12 o'clock on Community Matters. And we'll be back with you after news right now, because we'll be speaking with Johnny Coyne after news. And he has a great story to tell about how he's been all over the world. So all that plus lots more coming up on Community Matters. Good morning.
Galway Talks in association with Windsor Motorball. Drive happy in Windsor Motorball, Galway, with hundreds of used cars to suit your budget.